Welcome to the GOGcast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game, an XSplit broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. This is episode 100. Yeah, that's right. We made it to 100. Yay! We have an awesome episode here for you today. We've got an interview because we like talking to really awesome people. This week, hot off the launch of For Honor, we speak with community developer Emile Gauthier. Cool thing in this interview, he gives you some tips for playing For Honor. So learning from the master, the man who knows it all. All right, let's jump into this. We've got Kat on the podcast today.
Hi.
We've got Simon.
Oh, hello.
And we've got Allie.
Hi.
All right. What games have you been playing this past week, Kat?
I'm playing Skyrim still and Fire Emblem Heroes.
Sweet. Sweet.
That's a mobile game, right?
The Heroes, yeah.
Cool.
It's fun. It's what I play like lunchtime.
You've been
like
going
that pretty
strong with that for the past few weeks.
Yeah, I leave and then I come back to it a few days later, so I haven't hit all the daily objectives, but I mean, it's a good, fun game. It's just the Wi-Fi makes it that I can't play as often as I would like.
That's always a bummer.
Simon, what have you been up to?
Same old as last week. So a lot of Stardew Valley. I mean, it's been consuming me a lot. I'm almost finished my first year, actually, which is some people who say that that's almost no playtime, but it's like the furthest I've been. And I've repaired a lot of the stuff in the community center. So, I don't know. It's cool. I'm having a good time. It's fun.
Cool. Allie?
I've been playing For Honor.
When you wrote this down in the doc, because we keep track of how we're going to run our show, I was actually shocked. Because I had a feeling you weren't going to jump into that game.
Well, don't get too excited just yet. I bought it for my SO for Valentine's Day because nothing says romance like, you know, beating the shit out of other people.
Killing your enemies.
Yeah. All the hearts.
Bathing in the blood of your enemies. But yeah. So I decided to give it a shot. I'm, you know, it's a game. No, it's okay. I'm playing through the story mode right now. I played a little bit of it online. The story mode, the campaign, really does feel like an afterthought as of right now. Who knows, maybe it'll pick up, but it just really feels like an extended tutorial right now.
I think that's the point.
Yeah, but then don't call it a single player campaign. You know what I mean? Like, I played the tutorial, and then I started the campaign, and they literally made me do the tutorial again.
Yeah, I thought that was a little odd, but
like,
at the same
really
time,
that frustrated me.
Yeah, at the same time, what I've been playing, what I've been reading, and stuff, repetition and really learning the moveset is very important in this game. So I have a feeling, even though I'll play through story mode, I'll play through it a few times just so that I can get solid, because multiplayer intimidates me.
I don't know. I'm not intimidated by multiplayer, like competitive online multiplayer. I'm not scared of it. So I kind of dove into that head first, and I enjoyed myself because I had played the betas as well. So I already had some working knowledge of like the game's mechanics. I don't know. Like I said, I want to finish the story mode. Like, I definitely do want to finish it, but right now it's not standing out to me. I think the game shines in online play. For sure. But, you know, it's a little disappointing because it's a great setting and it's a great concept. And, like, the factions or stuff are really interesting. And I'd like to see, like, a full-scale story. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Like, I'm going to keep giving it a shot.
Very nice.
And playing online with friends is a lot of fun.
That's the truth. That's what hooked me when I played the beta.
If it's anything like Ubisoft game, For Honor 2 is going to be fucking amazing. So let's wait for that.
That's what I've been playing, though. I haven't been playing much games this past week because I was in Toronto for a bit and for work. How dare you? So, yeah, but I started into For Honor, and I will continue to play more along into the wee hours of the weekend and wee hours of the night, I think. I really, really enjoy that game, and now I'm just going to get my buddies hooked on it and so we can all play together, because I think Dominion's probably my favorite multiplayer mode.
No, it's a lot of fun to play with a group of friends.
Mm-hmm. All right, sweet. Let's jump into some news of the week. Stay tuned for that. And we're back with news stories. Throwing to you, Simon.
Yes. Hello. So, okay, I don't know if a lot of you are still playing Pokemon Go. Probably not, because let's face it, most people are not playing anymore. You know, I log in every once in a while. But for those of you who are still avid fans of Pokemon Go, rejoice, because Generation 2 Pokemons are out right now. So that's actually pretty cool. Like, I caught a Ledyba and a Sentret just before we started the podcast. So that was pretty. And I saw Mudkip, so I'm really pretty freaking excited about Mudkip.
I'm super stoked about this update.
You know,
Gen
2 is
my favorite
Gen.
The
only thing that sucks? How much snow do we have outside right now? We're effed.
You know what sucks even more than that?
What?
They made this big deal. They're like, oh, you can customize your trainer, like, even more now. It all costs real money.
Eep.
And, like, quite a bit of real money, too. So that was kind of a bummer.
I mean, are you surprised?
I'm not surprised. But, I mean, I think I kind of assumed that some sort of in-game, like, we'd be able to earn something in-game to use towards that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of... I mean, that's how they're hooking a lot of people now with other multiplayer games, offering it like, yes, you can pay and get it easy, but you can also grind to get it if you want to, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And earn the currencies, like the little coins that you get. But right now, the only way you can get coins in the Pokemon Go game, I believe, is through the battling system, which I've totally ignored.
It's,
I do not care.
Yeah, through like when you hold the gym, when you hold a certain amount, I think you can like gather coins from the gyms if you're holding. So I mean,
it's true. I totally forgot that was how you got them.
Yeah, but I don't do that at all. This game to me is not about the battle system, because I really hate the battle mechanics. Which are not really battle mechanics in my opinion. It's kind of like BS. But the game's all about collection for me. It's a collectathon.
Which, you know, let's face it, is what it's for about 95% of people playing this game still.
Totally.
So.
Even when I play the real game, I mean, I just go through and try to collect all the Pokemon I can get.
Like most people.
That's
still.
Yeah, that's all I want to do is collect the cute creatures. Mm-hmm. Yay. All right. I'm going to throw it to Kat now. Kat, what do you got for me?
Well, in other news, Trump is being a dick.
Right?
So the geek and video game community decided to fight back. Right now on Humble Bundle, you can get the Humble Freedom Bundle, and all proceeds benefit groups fighting Trump's travel ban. It raised $3 million in a single day.
That is fucking fantastic. What a smart idea.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Right now, they are sitting at almost $5 million.
Crazy.
They have sold 155,870 bundles, and that little counter on the site just keeps turning every second.
I am going to buy this as soon as we're done recording. Man, the games in here.
There's so many games.
Yeah, there's The Witness, Stardew Valley, Day of the Tentacle, Overgrowth, Nuclear Throne, Octodad, Deadliest Catch. That one is fun as fuck. I have it on the PS4. It's pretty funny. Invisible Ink. They're sold out of Super Meat Boy. There's World of Goo, Mushroom 11, No Time to Explain, The Stanley Parable, Super Brothers, Super Hexagon, and there's a bunch of books and just a shit ton of content. A few of them are sold out, like the Subnautica Early Access and Super Meat Boy, but it's still Agreed value.
Just for Stardew Valley, it's worth it.
So is it, you pay what you want, but they ask you to pay at least $30?
It's, if you pay if you pay at least $30, you get all of it.
Done. Sold.
Usually you pay, like, if you pay what you want, like a dollar, you have, you unlock three things, and then if you pay more, you unlock more, and if you pay more, this one, they just went $30, and you get all this shit. But you can pay more if you want, and I'm pretty sure some people are just dropping $5 to help support the cause. So, yeah, it's amazing.
It's really dope.
Faith in humanity restored.
Sometimes gamers do awesome things. Sometimes. It happens.
Yep. And I mean, if you think about it, like, Stardew Valley is about $15. The Witness is about $15.
Witness is more expensive than that. I paid $40 for it when I bought it.
Okay.
It might be on sale now. It's been out for a little while. But still, those two games alone make up for every, like, make the whole deal worthwhile. Mm-hmm.
It is, but there are some good games. Like, Octodad is amazing.
Guacamelee is amazing.
Yeah, some Subnautica is a, I have never played, but I know people that are obsessed with that game. And yeah, it's just so much good stuff. So if you love human beings and love games, you should check out the Humble Freedom Bundle. There's only, as of today, there's only, no, when the podcast goes, it's going to be over, though. There's only 3 days left.
Oh, it's too bad.
Oh, shit.
Well, you just missed your chance in awesome games, people.
Oh, well, shit. Hopefully, we will tweet this out early, so you've probably already seen the tweet. Exactly. But we still got to give the Humble Bundle folks the kudos on this.
Yeah, and honestly, just, you should keep up with what Humble Bundle does. It's such great deals, and my boyfriend got the subscription service where you pay per month and you get games like that, and his Steam library is getting even more out of control.
Wow, there's some pretty intense donators on this too. The top one is someone donated $3,000.
Goddamn.
Nice. Very nice.
And let's just put it this way, this is probably not the last time we're going to see Humble Bundle do something like this in the next year. So just give them a follow on Twitter, like the page on Facebook, subscribe to the newsletter, whatever. Keep up with them. They're doing good stuff.
Indeed. Allie, what have you got for us?
Well, earlier this week, I believe it was yesterday, Microsoft tweeted the basic details for their E3 2017 briefing, which is happening.
It's coming.
Sunday, June 11th. 2017 at 2:00 p.m. PDT, and it's
Sunday.
Super exciting. Yep, it's gonna be on a Sunday this
Sunday,
year.
Sunday. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just like doing that.
Does it everybody?
Yeah. That was their graphic even says, mark your calendar. We've moved to Sunday.
That's interesting.
So, and it's accompanied by a graphic that is the interior of the Scorpio, as far as we know, that was presented at last year's E3. So exciting stuff is going to be happening.
It says it's at the Galen Center. Is this the same place as last year? I don't remember, Catherine, where we went. I think it was a civic center of sorts.
Yeah, they did. Last year was in a new venue.
Cool. And I guess they want to be ahead of the crowd. That's why they're doing this 2 p.m. Because what is it? Bethesda now usually did their press conference Sunday night, and Xbox was usually Monday morning at 9 a.m.
Yeah, well, it's just, I think companies are trying to stagger their announcements at this point, because E3 was getting a little bit top heavy. Everything was happening in, you know, a very short period of time, and it wasn't really beneficial to anybody.
No, it's just making all us people real, real tired. Like, Monday was an intense day.
Well, it's just like, it's like people had to choose what they wanted to do, right? Like, it didn't make sense. So Xbox, let's move to Sunday, and we're going to be getting Scorpio news. I am stoked.
I want to get Destiny news.
We will be getting Destiny news before then.
Yeah, because isn't...
Way before then.
Wasn't PlayStation lead on Destiny? I don't know if they
let's
still
are. Let's
not
talk are. About
that. Oh, sorry. I touched on a sore subject.
Yes.
I guess I need to get another PlayStation then. I gotta go get mine fixed or something.
I'm not saying. It's just that they worked the deal with PlayStation to be the marketing console. Yeah, well, I mean,
they were like, wasn't there some PS4 exclusive things happening on Destiny 1?
Yeah, and that console.
Yeah, there was.
Oh, Ali's happy about it. You can't see the smile, but it's the fakest smile I think I've seen in my entire life.
Anyways.
And it's coming on PC too, so that's exciting.
We're not going to continue this train to make Ali upset.
But yeah, no, it's going to be exciting, guys. Hold on to your butts.
Hold on to your butts. E3 is coming.
Your butts.
And our last story of the week is all based around some news that comes out of right all here in Quebec. So, to give a summary, because most of this news came out en français, and as much as I understood, there's a lot of it of the nuance that I missed in my translation abilities. So I'm going to throw it to Kat so that she can break down how this news story started and the fanfare that came afterwards. Go ahead, Kat.
So basically, the Cégep de Matane, Cégep is basically college here. It's something that happens between high school and university. They announced their esports program. So I guess the term would be scholarship, where you can, you know, play hockey and go to school. And now you can play video games and go to school. And they're the first Francophone establishment to do so. And as a result, On the Journal de Montréal, which, let's not hide it, is a bit of a trash newspaper, a lady called Lise Ravary got her panties in a knot. And
no spin.
No spin. And basically spewed the same kind of poison that we've been trying to fight ever since we've started Girls on Games, which is the demonization of video games. So she's basically saying that she's fine with like a chess club. She's fine with like poker on TV, but she says video games are a problem. Because why? Because she has a young man in her life that is clearly going through a rough time, who is battling what seems to be a video game addiction. And because of that, she thinks the whole program is a problem and is just going to help with problems. That, no, you don't blame the substance. You blame the source cause. You blame the addict or the addiction. But basically, that's what she did. She's like, this program is bad because I know somebody in my life who's going through a rough time, and I'm blaming the video games. And then after the world of gaming just kind of like slammed into her, because let's face it, she wrote an article with no facts, no proper arguments, just like, this is what I see, so this is how it is. And then she updated saying that gamers cannot take criticism. And basically she accused gamers of doing what she's basically doing, which she can't take criticism herself because she wrote a factless, opinion-based blog piece, and then she just called the kettle black because gamers are like, but that's not how we are. Oh, you can't take criticism. Well, you can't fucking take criticism, and obviously you can't fucking read. And you can't fucking research because you didn't do shit. So I'm not usually one to throw hate, but when you just go like, well, in my life, this is how it is. So this is how it is for everybody. No, it's not. No, it's not. And if you can't see the forest for the trees, and that I'm sorry that there's somebody who's having issues in their life, but they need to be addressed. You need to take that kid to a professional yourself.
So I think there's three things that was happening in this article. The first one is the clear unknowledge of how esports works and the video game industry. The second was not understanding that the gentleman she's speaking about in her life has something else that he's dealing with that hasn't. Yes, video games is obviously his escapism. He's addicted to it and they're not dealing with it well. And three, the retort afterwards. And I don't know how much listeners know about the what's going on here in Quebec and Montreal. Some of her retorts were ridiculous. She compared gamers to the pit bull owning community and how the pit bull owners have been going crazy because we have this pit bull ban in the city right now. And the fact that she is complaining about criticism, calling us complainers about criticism, and then comparing us to another group of people who have all the right in the world, in my opinion, to complain about something that is BS and bringing a whole other can of worms into this situation is just mind-blowing. And yet, the Journal de Montreal, supposed to be proper media source, published this garbage.
Page views, clickbait.
Well, I think it's hilarious that she thought that she could get away with writing about a subject that she has absolutely no knowledge about and clearly did no research on and felt like she could get away with it, and then has the balls to be offended that people called her out on her bullshit, which is just mind-blowing to me. And honestly, like, it's also a little bit worrying that she would so easily place the blame on video games when the person in her life that's having these issues, I mean, her time would be much better spent finding him help than writing a baseless, factless, or infactual opinion piece.
Yeah, and my favorite is this little towards the end of the article. And I'm just going to loosely translate. You understand that learning in the newspaper this morning that a CEGEP created a video game club made m'a rendu mal à l'aise, Simon?
Mal à l'aise? Like,
made me feel uneasy.
Yeah, uneasy.
Yeah, made me feel uneasy. I would like to know how many members of this club play more than 2 hours per day, the limit that is not to be surpassed according to expert.
Okay.
To expert, they say that if you spend more than 2 hours a day, it could lead to addiction.
But if it's your...
If you're training for esports, of course you're going to play more than 2 hours a day. If you're training, it's just like, you know, there's such a thing as being addicted to going to the gym because of the endorphins and thing, and it can get dangerous.
Anything that you use to pass the time, anything that gives you joy can be abused to the point where it's an addiction. Yeah. Watching Netflix can
be... Going to the movies,
you know, going out partying... Like, all of these things done in excess can be bad, and it's just mind-blowing.
I want to know how much TV this lady watched. How much hours of her week is spent in front of a box spewing fucking bullshit at her all day. You know? It's just like, every time somebody's been like, you play too many games. And I'm like, how many hours a week you spend on Facebook? How many hours you spend a week watching TV? And it's always like, more or the same amount, and I play video game. I'm like, you have to understand, it's a hobby. This is what happens when you like something. And it's just like, because she sees one guy who's having issues and drowning his issues, like escaping his issues by playing a lot of WoW, she's like, this club is just gonna enable a bunch of addicts. What?
That's not how this works.
One of the things that threw me off too was her comment about it not being a sport, because she brings up the same argument all the time of people like, oh, well, there's no athleticism in it, right? And they say to be a sport, you need to be a physical athlete. And I battle with that idea all the time, because some of the most quick reflexed people and most creatively thinking individuals and team strategic minds come from esports players. They're smart, they're quick, they're agile, and they don't just practice that on their game. Many of these teams train physically together. They eat super healthy because they know that by doing And training these muscles and being healthy and doing all this stuff is only going to help their gameplay, because they know that sitting in chairs day in, day out is bad for your back and bad for your posture. And they know that by exercising as a team and doing activities outside of their gaming makes the communication work better between them as a team. So it doesn't make sense for you to complain and say that blanket statement, all gamers are fat, lazy males stuck in their basements playing hours on end. We break that mold down like nobody's business.
I don't understand people's, and this is not just this woman in particular, but this constant insecurity. Why is it so bad? And if, even if you agree or disagree about video games or professionally played video games being a sport, why are you so insecure about it being called that? Like, why, like, how does that affect your day-to-day life? No one is devaluing all the hours that you've put into perfecting your golf swing or, you know, your vaulting or whatever you do. No one's taking that away from you. And for her to get up in arms about that is just like, well, okay, how much time do you spend playing soccer each week that this is that offensive to you? It seems like such an inane argument to have. Especially when she's not a part of this industry. She has no knowledge about this industry. She should not have been able to comment on anything involving this industry without having done the proper research.
There's been quite a lot of commentary by members of the community, the video game community, especially here in Quebec. If folks haven't heard this, the news story or anything in the rest of Canada or the rest of the world, is because, of course, the article was written in French, and maybe it's not as mainstream. I imagine if this happened on the Montreal Gazette, it would have blown up more so, and there would have been even more backlash. But the folks in Quebec have been writing some really interesting stories. Laurent LaSalle for Branchez-vous wrote a really good article talking about how what her article is not even about video games. It's about someone dealing with mental illness. And we need to acknowledge that that is more the concern here than the fact that there's an esports, you know, community and program being offered at this new CJEP. And I think she's downplaying the awesomeness, or even she's damaging her argument completely in what she is choosing to use as her source material, because it has nothing to do with esports, collegiate level play of any sorts, and even just collegiate activities.
It's true. That's what she does. It's like, she's like, this club is a bad idea because there's somebody in my life who's suffering through this issue and drowning his sorrows in World of Warcraft. And it's just like, why you got to destroy a whole program and a whole organization and a whole like community just because you are grossly inequipped and unwilling to accept what's happening in that person's life?
Not only that, but I mean, she's shitting all over an opportunity for children or for kids to get an education.
That's true, because like, a lot of these kids would get, who would not be able, now we have to understand, in Quebec, it's pretty cheap for kids to go to university compared to other places like the States.
Yeah,
how a lot of people get the money to be able to go to higher education, because it is expensive. It's expensive here, it's just more expensive other places.
Yeah, I mean, if this is an opportunity for someone to use their passion to get them a scholarship to get them further in life, how dare you be upset about that, especially if it's not something that is damaging to their health or to their, you know, their mental state. I mean, you have to be passionate about things, and to make fun of that or to turn it into something negative is kind of a like crappy move.
My brother was part of a university collegiate program playing hockey in NCAA in the States. He went to Northeastern. So I know firsthand what they ask athletes to do in order to stay part of the team. So not only do you have to, you know, perform well on the ice, you also have to perform well in the classroom. It's part and parcel for you to keep your scholarship or to keep stay part of the team. I'm sure the program at CJET Matin was going to reflect a lot of the same ideas that any other athletic scholarship or athletic program represents as well, where it is very much a game and school life balance where people have to make sure that they keep up their grades and also keep up their skills to stay on the team. And that's very important and a good life lesson.
Because, yeah, I mean, if she thinks that esports, like professional esports players are messing around, she is, well, I mean, we already know she's ill-informed. But I mean, like, this is a serious opportunity for anybody who gets the scholarship. It's a serious opportunity and they're going to be taking it seriously. And I mean, the school has to benefit from this some way or another. So they're going to be making sure that the people who get these scholarships are taking it seriously.
And let's face it, if you're going all the way out to Matan, which is halfway, like it's past, like, you know, the Trans-Canadian Auto Route stops like 20 KMs before Matan. Like, to get to Matan, there is no auto route. Like, you're just on a country road.
So it's like, what is she if you're about?
gonna go in the boondocks,
yeah,
to study and be motivated to leave like a place like Montreal where there's like metro and transit, to go in the middle of nowhere on this side of this Saint-Laurent River, which I'm sure is beautiful, but you'll be very, very motivated by your studies and by your video game practice because there's probably shit all to do.
And like, isn't it scientifically proven? And I think I've heard this more than once, that like the more isolated you are, the higher chance of alcoholism and drug use, because there's literally nothing else to do. So you know what? Let these kids have their goddamn video games and leave them alone. Like, you know what? At least they're not snorting coke in the back of, like, some backwoods bar. No, they're inside playing League of Legends. Leave them alone.
I'm actually surprised that they picked up the concept of a esports program before Universitaire de Quebec or Montreal or Concordia or McGill. Do you know what I mean? Like,
they want
you kind of
expect up.
Yeah, but at the same time, we have a lot of universities here in the city that pretty much is like a picking ground, a cherry picking ground for the developers here, right? So you'd expect that a lot of esports players could also be like born and raised through this system. And I'm impressed that that university was the one to pick up the gauntlet first.
Oh, good on them, because I think they're promoting something healthy. They're promoting something that's important. They're keeping up to date. And they're going to motivate people to go to school and practice something that they love, which is like become a professional esport. And education is important. So, you know, education might not guarantee you the job of your dreams, but education is important.
And before we close this out, I want to look at the industry right now. Video games is making so much money, and we're having a real struggle when it comes to media, to keeping people and to keeping jobs and to keeping stuff. So when you think about it, esports and video games might be a very, very good way to keep yourself employed once you leave university, because it's a hard time to get a job right now.
Not only that, but I mean, like, seriously, how much longer is she going to have her job writing for a website, for a newspaper that, is it even printed anymore?
It's still printed. They have 24 hours. They're free, but they're cutting jobs left and right.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, maybe she should think about picking up a controller and trying to get on board before, you know, she's out of a job.
All right, we're gonna leave it at there and roll into our topic of the week. And we've got an interview for you with For Honor community developer Emile Gauthier, who has some really cool tips for those who are looking to play For Honor and more. So stay tuned for that. It's coming up right after this break. Emile, how you doing?
Yes, I'm good. Thanks for having me, Leah.
Are you exhausted?
A little bit, yeah. It's been a crazy week, but it's positive exhausted, I would say, because you know, since closed beta, we've been on such a huge hype. like surfing this big wave, and then we did the open beta right after that. And 2 days after, we launched the game, and it's going crazy at the moment. So we're still surfing this big wave. So yes, we're exhausted, but at the same time, it's super exciting and super fun to see the reactions now.
So we're talking 2 days after the launch of For Honor. You are the community manager at Ubisoft for Honor. So this is your game to really hype up.
It's not only my game.
Well, no, but this is the one that you gotta like.
Yeah, this is a huge teamwork. I'm also not the only one. I'm working with the community team. I have to give a big shout out to my teammate Eric Pope, who's another community developer, and we have also awesome community managers all around the world working with us for a long time now. So. It's super exciting. I have no words at the moment.
So you call yourself a community developer more so than a community manager?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. I mean, we're all in the same team, and mm-hmm. we do pretty much the same stuff. The difference is that community developers are in the development studio. So we're at Ubisoft Montreal, sitting with the dev team, with the programmers, the designers, all these people. So we basically do the link between these people and community. So we create content for community. We do interviews with the dev. When we launch the game, of course, we help escalating any issues or any technical things happening. We help for a lot of live operations, maintenance, stuff like that. And the community managers on their side, they work in the different countries. So we have one guy, for example, taking care of the French community or the American community or European. So that's basically the difference. We sit with the developers, with the marketing team at the studio. So in every Ubisoft studios, generally on games, on different games, there's a community developer working on every brand. So we take care of the content strategy, social ecosystem. We do a lot of online stuff.
That's really dope.
As well, yeah.
Exciting job. So let's roll back a bit. How did you get started working at Ubisoft?
Oh, it's been a while. It's been a while, Leah. I started back in 2007. So yeah, it's been a long ride. I started at the Ubisoft Quebec City studio. I'm a Quebec guy. I'm a Nordiques fan.
The Nordiques.
Yeah, bring back the Nordiques, please. I started working there. That was my first job, first official communication job back in 2007. So I worked, I was hired as a communication advisor. So I did mostly internal communication at that time, a little bit of recruitment. Then I moved to external communication. So I did more PR stuff for all the games that were made in Quebec City. So back in the days, we were working on a lot of Nintendo DS games. I don't know if you remember Surf's Up or Open Season.
I do.
Those were pretty cool Nintendo DS games. TMNT as well was made in Quebec City back in the days. That was a huge success. Then we worked on other titles such as Prince of Persia on the Wii. We did, and then we moved to more online games. So we had we made some Facebook games. We made some Raving Rabbids games back in the days on Facebook. You remember this Farmville era?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the Farmville Gold Rush. And then I worked. We started a project called Duel of Champions in Quebec City, and that's where I switched to from external communication to community development. So I started working in a production team that was a free-to-play game, an online card game. So that was a totally new project, and it was a very small team. So that was my first game shipped as a community developer, if you want to say it that way. And then moved to Montreal and started working on For Honor for 3 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a crazy ride. So it will be 10 years in March that I work for Ubisoft.
Congratulations.
So, thank you very much. But it feels like I started yesterday. So
that's a good thing.
Time goes very fast.
Keeping it fresh.
Yeah, absolutely.
So For Honor, 3 years ago, if you started on it. So I imagine that's around the announcement time when it came out at E3.
See, even before that, a year before that.
Okay.
So it's been a while, so we started. We were a very, very small team at that time, and we worked on all the. When I arrived on the project, of course, the designers were working on it since maybe another year or two before I came in. Were doing all the basics of the core game mechanics. When I arrived, those were already established. So we worked more on how do we work on this campaign, how do we work on the announcement, and what do we do with the community at this stage. So we spent a lot of time working on our communication strategy. We were also documenting what was going on, because at that time we were developing the game, we were doing all the mocap, a lot of this stuff. So we couldn't tell anything, but we were still documenting stuff and preparing for some upcoming stories about the game. And then, of course, the announcement at E3 2015 was crazy. The reaction was incredible. And after that, finally, we could start talking about this mysterious game.
It's great. So sometimes we have folks here who, though we have spoken of For Honor before, played it and that kind of jazz, maybe I'd like to get your elevator pitch for the game.
Oh, that's a good question. I would say that For Honor is the ultimate action melee fighting game. So that will be my elevator pitch, because there's so much to do. You have so much freedom on the battlefield. So you embody one of those three legendary warriors, the knights, the Viking, the samurai, and then you go on the battlefield. You fight for your faction, you invite your friends, you fight in teams, and you have an incredible immersive experience like you've never seen before. That will be my pitch, because that's basically how I feel when I play the game. This is not a marketing tagline or anything. When I jump on the battlefield, that's how I feel. Everything can happen. You feel the weight of the armor. You feel the your weapon. It's one of the first time that you try For Honor. Usually you've never played something like this before.
That's the truth. So real talk right now, which faction are you?
I'm Viking.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm Viking. I've been a Viking for a long time, but I'm playing a samurai hero
these
days. So I'm a bit there's a little bit of a contradiction here, but
that's
I fight
okay.
for the Viking, and I play a female samurai.
Oh, I like that.
Oh yeah, I play the Nobushi.
Nice.
Yeah, she's so badass.
Oh man, I haven't gotten there yet. I'm so close though. So. The launch, we're 2 days out. How have things been?
It's been great. It's been great. We have a lot of positive reaction. The community was there. The community showed a lot of support. Our social media are booming at the moment. We have a lot of comments. Actually, what we're doing is to make sure that the devs are aware of all of the issues, of all of the discussion that's happening with the community, so they can fix stuff as fast as possible. But so far, the reaction is incredible. When we go online, it's amazing. The level of play also is extremely high after only a few hours, after 2 days. It's crazy. I think people are... really enjoying. They caught the same emotion, I think, that I felt when I first played the game. And that's incredible. We also see an incredible reaction on Twitch and all of the other streaming platforms, because we see that the game is fun to watch. People have have crazy emotions. I was at the meltdown for our Montreal launch event earlier this week, and people were going crazy inside the venue when you know, players were doing a cool execution or had a funny moment or so that was crazy. We know that we have a fun game that is fun to watch, that has a great potential, and we're super happy with the launch. We could have wished for more.
You mentioned players being so high level right off the bat. Obviously, this had to have come part and parcel with the fact that you had a closed alpha, a closed beta, and then the open beta. Do you guys think that helped not only, you know, build the level of gameplay by players right off the bat, but also the buzz around the game and testing the stability of the servers?
Yes, absolutely. You're totally right, Leah. Actually, it was part of our strategy. Maybe you didn't play the very first closed alpha that we did in 2015. Did you play that one?
Closed alpha? No, I played the one, not the very first one. No, I played the one in the end of 2016. That's when I got hooked.
I had this
feeling this was gonna get me, because I'm a fan of like Vikings, Knights, and Samurais, like of all the three warriors you could throw together. I mean, it's like pulling at every heartstring that I have. And yeah, so when I did jump in, and I'm confession here, and most people who have listened to this podcast know I am not one for playing multiplayer games.
Oh, no.
So the very first night that I played this in the closed alpha, like, I was killing it, and I was like, whoa, okay, this is my thing, my calling is here.
Oh yeah, that's a good character, that's a good hero, totally. But to go back to your question, mm-hmm. with all the different life phases that we did, it really helped. You know, I worked in communication and marketing for a while now, and I can tell that there's nothing compared to you know, to converting by usage, by, you know, trying the game. We played on stage at E3 2015, so it was working back then, almost 2 years ago. So it was also one of our strategies. So it's to put the game in players' hands as fast as possible, do multiple tests. So I would say yes, it helped in terms of marketing, in terms of hype, but it also helped a lot in terms of improving the game and improving the balancing of each hero. We change a lot of stuff on the different characters, on some game mechanics, even with community feedback. So it helped on so many different fronts. When we just before we launched, doing the closed alpha, doing the open beta, having the game available for free for everybody was also a great strategy, and we had a lot of positive reaction from that. So it was a great launch.
So no pun intended, but you were on the front lines of that community
yes.
Feedback. So you really got to see how the folks playing the game throughout the different iterations, alphas, betas, how they reacted, gave positive and negative feedback, and then you could really take that and run with it with your dev team.
Yeah, absolutely. So since 2 days, we compile everything, we read everything, we are on Reddit. We have a super active, huge, and super engaged Reddit community that's really awesome. So we get all the feedback on the forums, from Twitter, from all social media, from technical support, of course, and we make sure that the devs are aware of that, and they are already aware, of course. They didn't go on vacation when the game released. They were ready, and that's what we're doing. So we take the feedback and we make sure that the team is aware of that, so they can improve it. And of course, we take all the positive feedback and we pass it around, because it was a crazy adventure, and we need to get also this positive feedback to feed us, you know, to fuel our next weeks.
So speaking of that, any chance of For Honor in the future having an esports side?
It depends on the community, Leah. You know, we've done, Ubisoft have done esports in the past, mostly with Rainbow Six. So we have people that are that knows this this industry and know how esports works. So we. But I mean, it will depend on the community. We know now that we have a game that is fun to watch. We'll see if the community is asking for it. why not?
It's very interesting because the game can be played from the solo point of view with the duels. So you could really have like that lone wolf kind of style. Or you've got the team side of it where you and three buddies go out and try and, you know, take over the world.
Yeah. You have all those different game modes. Of course, duel is maybe the most skill-based one, I would say. It's really one against your opponent, one-on-one, eye-to-eye. So you really need to master all of the combos, all the moves of your hero. And if you go out on other game modes, you will find other modes that are more objective-based, like Dominion, which is 4v4, so you need to talk with your team, you need to capture different zones, conquer the map and kill all your opponents. And you have elimination, which is kind of a mix of both. So you start with a duel, and then you need to eliminate all your opponents. So I think there's something for everybody in For Honor who likes, fighting people, have an immersive experience, feel the danger of a battlefield.
So Battle for Canada, hashtag Battle for Canada, wrapped up this week. How was the reaction?
It was great. I think it was good to have something dedicated to our Canadian fans. That was nice. I saw it happen in Toronto as well. So it was impressive to see it broadcasted on Dundas Square. So I think it was great seeing the reactions on Twitter. That was a great campaign, and also I liked the test that you could do. You could go on the website and do a test, if you're a Viking, a knight, or a samurai. So that was kind of cool.
Indeed. And creative wise, now I always know that the community behind, that supports a game, there's a lot of creative individuals out there. Have you received some really cool stuff?
So, Leah, what's happening right now? I will send you the link.
Ooh, I like links.
Yeah, you like links. I'll try to paste it on this software that I never used before.
All right.
But there's actually a subreddit created for Honor Emblems. So people have started a subreddit just for the just to share their For Honor emblems. So it's kind of cool. So there's that. Actually, we're in a emblem frenziness right now. They're coming from everywhere. But yeah, we have an awesome creative community. If you go on our subreddit, we'll see a lot of memes. Also, it's really funny. You wake up in the morning, you go look at the For Honor memes, and you start your day on the right foot. But besides that, we had cosplayers doing awesome costumes. We had artists doing paintings, and we went in LA for our launch event down there last week, and we went there with Jason Vandenberg, our creative director, and one of our top players, actually Pandego, who you are, came and commissioned an artist to do a painting, a Viking painting with Jason's face. So we brought it to Jason at the event, took a picture. So that was kind of cool. So yes, we have a crazy community. That's fun to see all of what they're creating. We also have wraps. Actually, we have three For Honor wraps on YouTube.
Send me all these links. I have to put them in the show notes so people
absolutely
can check them out. Yeah,
for sure. But we have three For Honor wraps. So keep them coming. We have I found an Italian wrap this morning. Crazy video. So yeah, why not? We should have a Canadian rapper doing some For Honor rap. Why not?
Yeah. Send those in.
Yeah.
Come on, Canadian rappers. We want to hear that. I must say that when you're first presented into For Honor, the very first thing you have to do is make your emblem. And the tools there, you might seem at first that, there's not a lot to choose from, but then you realize you can layer and you can rotate and really mesh and play things together and then unlock things as you go. So the options are endless, and I can see people can be real creative.
Oh, totally. I've seen, what did I see this morning? I saw a Dark Side of the Moon album cover in an emblem. I saw, many Star Wars emblems, some really creative stuff with a lot of details. Also Pokemons, a lot of crazy stuff. But I have to say the Dark Side of the Moon one was probably my favorite.
We'll have to share that one and I'll have to pass it on to our friends at Shome. They'll love it.
I want a Ramones emblem. Then.
Okay, challenge set out into the world. Someone make a Ramones emblem.
Yes,
all right. So
please.
Now that you've got this game, it's out in the wild. You know, we're a few days out. How do you guys support it?
So I guess we're talking about post-launch and upcoming content and stuff like that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, we have a pretty interesting plan. We'll be releasing new heroes every 3 months.
Ooh.
So we'll have two new heroes every 3 months. We have a bunch of new outfits, mood effects. We have a lot of content that is coming every month, not every month, but every 3 months for the whole year. So we have six new heroes coming for the next year. We also have a tournament mode coming up. We have a ranked mode also. It has been requested by our community for a while now. So it will be coming throughout the next year. So we have a lot of cool stuff coming. And all of that will be... grindable. So you can buy all of this stuff with the in-game currency with steel. So that's kind of cool. So you don't have any advantage if you're buying stuff or just playing longer. So it's kind of cool. So we have multiple things coming up. We also we have a post-launch trailer also that I can link you.
Ooh,
where
yes,
you
please.
Yeah,
yes,
you will please. See all the details of what's coming up. But yeah, we didn't just made this game and threw it in the air. We're out there to support it. On the community side, me and Eric, we want to do weekly streams where we can meet, members of the dev team. We can spotlight some cool community stuff. We can play the game with you. So we're starting doing that. I know we're not live, so I will not say next week, but when the podcast is live, we'll probably have already done one. But yeah, we plan to do weekly streams. We plan to put the spotlight on what the community wants to show. We want to do community tournaments. So of course, there will be tons of stuff. We'll be out there waiting for you.
So you've been playing this game probably more than anybody else next to the dev team who are testing this stuff themselves. And something that I think is really key in this game and is not... it's not something that you hear in many other games or see as a game mechanic is patience. Patience is a very important part of this game, very different from other multiplayer combat games. Do you think that that's going to really bring the challenge for those game those players more so than other games like even just shooters where it's more about the twitch? This is really a zen sort of style of gameplay mechanic.
Yeah, I like this comparison, Leah. It's actually the first time that I hear... patience, I would say. But yeah, I think that's an important skill. Me personally, I'm a very patient fighter, I would say, because you need to take your time, man, when playing For Honor. You need to read your opponent. You need to learn a lot of the tricks, of the moves. So of course, you need to play defensive. It's not a game where you will go on the battlefield and mash the buttons, so you need to take your time to master your movement. There's a big focus on timing as well. I would say that it has a lot of rhythm. So you need to learn all the right timing to do guard breaking, for instance, to parry some hits. That's a great way to qualify the game. Yeah, you need some patience. You need to play defensive as much as offensive, and it's also so different depending on the heroes you play.
It really makes me think of chess sometimes. You really need to be patient and think about your moves before you make them. You know that the old saying, measure twice, cut once? Kind of works in the Samurai Knight and Viking. If you could give a player one tip for playing this game to up their skill set, what do you think it would be?
I would say, can I give more than one tip?
Oh yes, give all okay. the tips.
but because the first tip that I would say is do the tutorial. First, start with the tutorial. Second tip, play the story mode. You will also learn. You will play all the characters. So then after that, if you don't know which one to choose, you would have played them all during the story mode. So it's really cool. I highly suggest you to do that. And after that, you can start by playing some very versatile characters. Like usually, I would suggest you to start with the Warden, which is the knight, the knight hero, but also the Kensei and the Raider, who are the samurai and the Viking archetypes. So those three characters are great. Great basic character, super polyvalent. They go fast. They hit hard. They are pretty much, you know, balance between offensive and defense. So I would start with those three characters. And after that, if you want to be more, if you want to have more range, if you want to play faster, but you know, have more defense, for example, you can try other characters that are maybe a bit more advanced after that.
And yourself, if you had to go back now and decide you wanted to learn one character and master it, who would you want to go and really take time with right now?
Oh, I would say, actually, I play mostly three characters at the moment. My first one was the Raider, which mm-hmm. is the Viking Vanguard. So that was my first one. And then I started playing a little bit more of the Berserker, which is another Viking, the Viking Assassin. And then I moved to the Nobushi, the Samurai. So that's where I said that I... there's contradiction here, but that was this is an advanced character that is hybrid with a lot of range. So I would say that I need to spend more time with this character, but also one of the new ones because I saw a dog passing
That's
by.
That's Bowie.
That's kind of cool.
He's Bowie. Always in the podcast.
Oh, what a cool name, Bowie. Well,
David Bowie.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Can I?
Keep going. Bowie always ends up in the podcast.
I was about to do another Bowie segue, but I will stop here. But because I knew another animal named Bowie.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, another one of the cool new characters, because if you played the open beta, you couldn't play all the characters, but the Shugoki is a new one, which is the big samurai, the piñata. There's also the Valkyrie, which is a Viking hybrid, pretty cool, really badass, a lot of range, and the Lawbringer, which is the knight tank, so a very heavy character. So those three new ones are pretty cool. Pretty good characters to learn at the moment.
And who do you think would be one of the hardest characters to learn how to play? Do you think it's one of the bigger, heavier set characters, or do you think it's one of the more nimble, like assassin type characters?
Oh, the harder to play with. Yeah, I think that the assassins are a little bit harder, like the Oni, the Peacekeeper. They are more, I would say these assassins, they have a lot less defense. So they need to be quick. They need to move around their opponents. They need to throw really fast combos. So they can be a pain to fight against. So at the same time, it's good to learn how your enemy fights before fighting him. So yeah, in my case, they aren't my nemesis. I hate fighting against assassins. Actually, my buddy Eric Pope always plays a Peacekeeper, and I'm like, oh, I'm, you know, they are my nemesis. So I need to play the Nobushi to get a higher range and to fight against these multiple stabs and, you know, short range attacks. So yeah, they're difficult to fight against sometimes. So I would suggest to learn how to play them to fight them better.
Practice, practice
yes.
makes perfect.
Oh yes.
All right.
But that's what's cool is that all of our 12 heroes are super different. They have their own personality, they have their own fighting style, and then you can add your personal flavor. You can customize them, you can change their gear, you can change their color, and after that you had your own flavor and you have a character that matches your personality, and that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Emil, thank you so much for sitting with me and chatting about For Honor. I'm so excited to play more, and I know that there's more coming. So we need to let the listeners know where they can check out more about For Honor and where to check out all those fancy streams and stuff you guys are going to be doing.
Oh, I would say to watch our streams. It's twitch.tv/ForHonorGame. So that's where it happens. For Honor Game on Facebook, Twitter, For Honor on Reddit. And that's the best place to go. If you want to give your, if you're playing the game, you want to send your feedback, forums.ubisoft.com is the best place to go. Look for us. We're out there. And yeah, send us your feedback.
Sweet. And all the creative emblems.
Oh, yes. We want to see them.
More
keep them coming.
All right. Sweet. Thanks, Emil.
Thank you very much.
It's that time to close out the show before we let y'all go. Want to thank, of course, Fun.io, wonderful hosting company that we have a wicked, wicked partnership with. We love them very much. If you're looking for web hosting, go check them out. They can service all your web hosting needs. Simon, what's going on with the stream team?
For the stream team, it's pretty much business as usual. However, we do have a special broadcast that will be happening on Sunday evening. So I think this will be podcast 101. We will be going back to a special live stream podcast. So more details to come on social media. You guys better keep posted.
So yeah, keep February 26 in your calendars. We'll be doing this live again. So much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to old times. Kat, what's going on the website?
We decided to go the budget-friendly route, and we unboxed, reviewed, and tested the Sades B-Power gaming headset, which goes for about $40-ish on Amazon. So let's see if it can replace these $100 to $200 headset we've all fallen in love. Spoiler alert, not really.
Oh my god, I was just gonna say it.
Let's just say get it for your kids. Okay, cool. And art examination this week, Miss Bianca Dunk looks at The Last of Us, the apocalyptic beauty. Also, if you want to know more about For Honor, if you scroll a bit past a few articles, you'll see some For Honor gameplay that Leah recorded a while back. So check those video out.
Sweet. I know there's also lots of other content coming up in the next little while, but of course, we don't have any dates for anything yet. But you know, there's big games coming out. There's Horizon Zero Dawn. There's Legend of Zelda. There's the Switch itself. So yeah, stay tuned to the website because we could have some pretty cool stuff that pops up over the next few weeks or so for people to check out. All right, I want to thank Simon, Kat, and Allie for being on the show. Simon, where can people track you down?
You can find me on Twitter at GOGSimonM, or I am trying out Beam, if ever you want to come check it out. I am beam.pro/40.
Very nice. Catherine, where can people check you out?
I am CSDESBINS, CSDBA, on Twitter, Instagram, and you can find me on most gaming platforms as well. Send me a friend request. I'll accept it in about 2 to 3 weeks.
That cracks me up every time you say it. Allie, where can people track you?
I am 8BitBlonde pretty much everywhere on the internet, Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, and now Beam, where I am streaming every second day.
She's really
very
good.
Nice.
She's really good.
Ah, Yeah, you should go check out Allie there. Yeah, we've all been giving Beam a go. It's a pretty cool platform, and I like the community. You can track me down. I'm Leah Jewer on most social media platforms. GOG Leah on Xbox Live, AU56 on PlayStation. And then, yeah, Beam. I'm GOG Leah on there, too, and testing it out. But, of course, you want to know everything that there is to know about Girls on Games, so you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Girls on Games, The Girls on Games on Instagram. We got a Discord channel where you can come and chat with us. That's discord.me/girlsongames. But of course, everything you need to know is at our home base. That is girlsongames.ca. Thank you once again for an awesome week of video game chatting with us. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. We'll see you on the 26th live. And happy gaming. Ciao.
Bye.
Laters.
Bye.